It's, I mean, you've been listening to me all day on and off, so this is just feeling like a little bit of extra pressure. It's funny because I've been reading all these bios all afternoon and all day, and they're very impressive and very extensive, and Patrick asked me to write a bio, and I hadn't very much to say, to be honest. I know you've been treated to some magnificent talks of this standard. I think it's God's will now that I bring you back to life with a bit of reality in terms of I'm just an ordinary girl from Tyrone. If I hadn't been listening to Father Shemin all day today and yesterday, I would say I'm a nobody. But of course, I'm not a nobody. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. And I am sacred. And I am here before you as a servant of God. I'm very privileged to do so. But you know what I mean when I say I'm a nobody. Compared to our elite speakers, I'm quite ordinary. Before I start, I'd like you to join me in a prayer, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I pray especially to the Holy Spirit that he will inspire me to say exactly what he wants me to say. And he will inspire you to be open to hear what he needs you to hear. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Our Lady of Peace, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My talk is entitled The Radical Call of Openness to Life. And if you've seen me walking around, and you'll understand that this is my eighth child, you will have an idea maybe why I was asked to give this call or give this talk. But I want to begin by asking you all, do you believe you have a radical call to openness to life? Good. Because I wouldn't want anyone here to think that this call is just for me or someone at my stage of life. That if you're either younger or older, that this call is not for you, because it most definitely is. I haven't got a script like our esteemed speakers. Really, what I have are many thoughts that I'm just going to try and think out loud and share with you. I always take inspiration from the words of Our Lady. You know, she pondered everything in her heart. And as a housewife and a mother of, please God, eight, I have a lot of time to think. I don't have a lot of time to study or to listen to talks even or to read, because I often fall asleep when I try to. But I have a lot of time to think and to ponder. So what I'm going to do in these next few minutes is just to share some of my thoughts. The way I've done that is I have just focused on a number of key words. These are the words. The first word is radical. What that word means, the radical call of openness to life, what does radical mean? Well, I looked up the dictionary, and one of the definitions was it's characterized by a departure from tradition or progressive. But I like that one. Characterized by a departure from tradition or a change relating to the fundamental nature of something far-reaching. Well, to me, openness to life in Ireland is not radical. For me, it's not radical. I am blessed to be the eldest child of eight. My mother is one of nine. My dad is one of 12. It is not radical for me to be open to life. We were given a quote from Barbara yesterday, and I think it was from St. Paul, or soon to be St. Paul VI's letter to women before Humanae Vitae. And it said, mothers must leave a legacy which her children will love and follow. That's far-reaching. And that's the nature of motherhood. So why is it radical to be open to life in this day and age? Why is this so radical? Why am I so different to the rest of my peers with my soon-to-be 8 children under 12? And I think the biggest word, and that's why we're here, the idea of birth control. And I focus primarily on this word, control. Control. Who is in control of our lives? That's the question. And that applies to every single person in this room, no matter what stage of life that you're at. Who is in control of your life? And that is what people find so difficult to understand about my life, my husband, my family, is that God is in complete control of my life. And I have the ultimate freedom in saying that and in living that. And it is the most exhilarating, challenging, exciting, bewildering, joyful, sorrowful calling that there is, to allow God to be God, as Barbara said, and to be in control of my life. Our people, our nation, have bought into a lie that they're in control of their lives, let alone their fertility. And it is causing devastating, devastating consequences. So if you think about it, control. I'm reading a book at the minute by Jordan Peterson, and he talks about the 12 rules of life. He's a very famous psychologist. And he talks about two dimensions of our world. He talks about chaos on one side and order on the other, and how you have to walk that fine line between chaos and order. If you have too much order, there can be tyranny. If you're sticking rigidly to rules and regulations and you're fearful to live because you're in control, you need this order to your life, it can be very dangerous. And we all have to be aware of this every day. On the other hand, if you're living with chaos, there is no structure to your life, there's no pattern, there's no rhythm, there's no routine, and you can't live like that either. And Jordan Peterson himself said it, and he's not even a Christian. He's one of these people who doesn't like to be put into a box. But he said it, that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, he is that fine line between chaos and order that we have to wake up every day and find. That's our challenge. What's happening now, and as I said, the consequences are devastating. We've seen the consequences of birth control. I don't need to talk about that. But the consequences of thinking you're in control of your life have other very serious ones for our nation. For a start, our young people are told that they're in control of everything to do with their life. And guess what? They're not. And guess what happens when they encounter suffering, death, accidents? They have no tools to deal with things that are beyond their control. They have none. And we wonder why we have a suicide problem in Ireland. Because we're telling our young people that they are in control, and when this lie is shattered, their worlds are shattered. And it's devastating. We also have mental health problems for mothers and fathers who, out of the best intentions, think that they're in control of their children's lives. And they put so much pressure on themselves. I know that, and I know that from good mothers. We look on websites, we see perfect homes, we see perfect children, we see all of these examples of perfection, and we try to control our children's lives that they may be what, and as I said, even good intentions, good Catholics who want their children to be saints. It's so easy to fall into this trap that you're in control. We are not. I am no more in control of my children's nature. I can, of course, assist God, and I must do, and I must discipline, and there are ways, but I am not in ultimate control. I must give that to God. And I think that's so important. I probably wandered way over my time, but I'm only in word one. In the encyclical Humanae Vitae, And this is to do with that idea of between chaos and order. And people think that I'm chaotic or that I have no intelligence when I'm giving all of my fertility to God, that I'm crazy, I'm living a chaos. In the encyclical, Pope Paul said, "The church is the first to praise and commend the use of human intelligence in an activity in which human beings endowed with reason are so closely associated with the Creator." I am endowed with reason. I am not following a chaotic path. My reason is that God is in control. That's my reason, and I allow him to be God. And I have another great quote. This is because we very much got a big American influence, which is fantastic. We learn so much, but I want to give you a bit of a Celtic influence. The Celtic Christians understood from Scripture and from their own life experience that God was not someone we bend to our wants or desires, but rather he was someone beyond our control, someone we would need to pursue rather than subdue. And you know what the Celtic phrase for the Holy Spirit is? The wild goose. He's the wild goose. And I love that. Because he's unpredictable. And I have to follow that journey. And you know that. I'm a bit of an adventurer. And I love it. So the second word I have is trust. We know that our purpose in life, it's the second phrase in the Children's Catechism. Who is God? Or what is our purpose? We must know, love, and serve God. We cannot trust, and we cannot expect our brothers and sisters to trust in God and to give him control if they don't know and love him. We need to help our brothers and sisters in Ireland to help them know and love Jesus first. So let's not get too caught up in the, oh, they're using birth control and they won't give control to God and I'm so cross with that. Let's encourage them to know and love Jesus. The trust will come. The trust will come. And with our children, we can do that. With your grandchildren, with your children, you can know and love him from they are tiny. And then you're preparing them for these big decisions. If you let them know and trust God in the small decisions of their lives, the small things that are important to them, the choices of their school subjects, what they're going to wear, where we're going to go on holiday, what movie we're going to see. Small things, if you encourage them to know and love Jesus and have this understanding that he has their best interests at heart, it will become easy to serve him and easy to give him control. Another word I have is supernatural. And I love this from page 7. I'm not like these other guys, they can quote quick. It talks about a vocation which bears not only natural and earthly realities, but realities supernatural and eternal. So my word is supernatural. One of the biggest problems that we have in this country is we have lost our notion of the supernatural. We used to be so good at it. Our poetry, our art, our landscape is just so full of the notion and the idea of God and the supernatural. We must understand our purpose. Barbara spoke very powerfully yesterday about the roots of the radical feminist movement and how they came to the conclusions that they came to about the oppressor man and about the desperate situation of the American housewife. And I could understand where some of these women were coming from. What she was saying was that they were caught up in the drudgery of having a child and the monotony of every day and how this became a chain and a burden on them and this propelled them into this crazy logic that they had. And, you know, Patrick mentioned, I was an engineer and a Gaelic footballer, of pretty good success. And I had a rich, interesting, exciting life. But those early days of motherhood are so tough. Anyone testify to that? They're so difficult because they have the power to remove you from the supernatural. All you can see is what's in front of you, and it's very real and it's very messy. And it can be boring. We need reminded of the supernatural reality of our motherhood, of our identity, of our purpose. To take away those comparisons with other mothers or other families or whatever else, to know that we are known by God. He knows my weaknesses. You know, I've often said, you know, you give birth overnight, but it takes a lifetime to become a real mother. You don't become selfless overnight. It's a long and hard chiseling. But we need to make our young mothers aware of that. And again, that's how you can help in that supernatural call. To remind us, you know, there are days when I have tough days and I just need someone to come and just remind me of the supernatural. It's not always going to be like this. I need to embrace my motherhood. I can't hold my breath for 5 years until they're all going to the toilet by themselves and putting their own seatbelt on. Do you know what I mean? I have to be able to embrace it right there and then. And that takes a supernatural power, and that's where you all come in. How can you in Ireland support families like me who are in the trenches? You can, by being a friend, by coming and having tea, bringing a dinner, bringing your life to me so I can hear about it. Because I love to hear about people's lives. I love to hear about things beyond the four walls where I can get stuck. And that's why we need to remember that supernatural. I've just got a photograph to remind you. I'm going to push on. These are my children. This is why I talk about the supernatural, and again, it goes back to control and allowing God to bring us to places that we can never expect. This is my daughter, Kathleen. Kathleen was diagnosed with a really severe epilepsy at 9 weeks. And she had an extensive brain surgery when she was 5. So that was her after her brain surgery. She had about a quarter of her brain removed. And she was blind for 3 days because her eyes couldn't open with the swelling. You can see the big scar. I used to call her a crown of thorns. That is suffering, and that is really, really difficult in a way. But in another way, it's almost like a spiritual retreat when you go deep down into those kind of sufferings. My husband, it used to frustrate him actually, because whenever we were going through, there were certain emergencies and difficult times, and I would just go, my mantra would be, "Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee. Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my..." I just would go into this mantra. It would drive him nuts, understandably. But somehow it was bedded into me, you know, saying those words. People often mock the rosary for repetitive words, but there is a power in repetition. You don't even know it, but subconsciously, I was trusting. And Kathleen was in surgery for 12 hours. And because I knew that God was in control, those 12 hours were actually filled with peace. Because I knew that God was in control of her life. He could take her, if it was his will, and she would be a saint. Or she could be healed. Recover, but he was in control. That's often much harder to have a decision to make. There were other times in our lives with Kathleen when we had very difficult decisions to make, should this treatment or that treatment, and I found that much more difficult because then there was some responsibility on my part. When I handed her over to the surgeons, God was in control, and that I was free to accept, and I did. And Barbara said yesterday, you know, suffering is the heat that melts us into Christ. And that's so true. And that's another point that kept coming to me in the referendum. You know, when you talk about the children with disabilities or the children with special needs. Because this is my other wee baby. That's Kathleen's crown of thorns. This is Michael. Michael is my baby, and Michael has Down syndrome. And he's extra cute. Extra cute. But we have this culture that we can avoid suffering. Now, we need to avoid suffering at all costs. We've forgotten the supernatural again. We've forgotten that suffering is the heat that melts us into Christ. And I can understand people running from suffering, because it probably is the first thing you want to do as a parent, is to run as far as you can. But that's not what we're asked to do. We're asked to lift our cross and do more than lift our cross. We're asked to embrace our cross. And you know, many people think that Down syndrome is a cross. It's actually not. It's the most huggable little person you could ever meet. And you know, I was doing a novena, I'm diverting off point here, but I had joined HLA not long before Michael was born, and Patrick has a great devotion to the Holy Face. And I had been praying the Holy Face all throughout my pregnancy. The scans hadn't picked up anything with Michael. So we only found out after he was born that he had Down syndrome. And you know, the nurses came and told us, you know, we've noticed something about little baby. We're like, okay, what? You know? And there's some little traits. And it's this wee squashed face and it's a wee trace on his hand, and I said, well, all my babies had squashed faces when they were born. That's just a hair trait. But without laughing and taking it too lightly, my husband and I were blessed because of people like you who pray for us all the time. And we were just like, okay. And they waited for us for about 3 days to break down and crash because of this devastating news we had. And we were like, no, that's fine. We've had a child who's had extensive brain surgery. If we can stay away from hospitals, we'll ask, this is no problem. And because I had been doing the novena to the Holy Face, it struck so powerful. I mean, look at that face. His face will always tell you that he has Down syndrome. So every time you look at his face, I just think of the Holy Face of Christ. But that's what people said. But I actually didn't. After a while, I go, do people notice really? Because I don't see it anymore. But you know, he has that face that would indicate to you immediately that he is a special child of God. What a power! We will never forget looking at Michael that he is a special child of God. And I was at confession. I shared this with Evelyn there before last year. And mothers tend to be quite hard on themselves, especially Irish mothers, I think. And I had been telling the priest how difficult I was finding things, and he said to me, think of one person in your life who loves you unconditionally. Boom. And of course all my children do, my husband does, but that's my gift, a reality. That's the supernatural reality of the child of God that I was given, and he wears that badge of honor every day, and I hold him like a badge of honor every day, and I'm so proud to have him. The last quote, so I'm going to go back to the four quotes and then I'm going to finish because I think I've probably gone way over time. That's my family. There's my four words. The last one is welcome. I've got a great quote. Okay. I'm just going to get this for you. It is a quote from Father Jacques Philippe. He said, human freedom is not so much a power to transform as a capacity to welcome. And he went on to say, the most rewarding act of freedom ever made by a human being was the fate of Mary, her trusting and loving yes. We are called to welcome. We are the nation of K. Mila Falcha. 100,000 welcomes. We must discover our capacity to welcome. We must welcome God into our lives. We must welcome each and every person into our lives. We've referred to the difficult people. We must welcome them. We must welcome every single child as a gift and as a treasure that they are, regardless of who or where or what they'll become. We must welcome the challenges, and we must welcome suffering. Father Shannon said in the run-up to the referendum, before the result, that people underestimate the depth of Ireland's spiritual roots. And I think that's true. I think we've underestimated the depths of our spiritual roots. Our language, our words, 100,000 welcomes. Our wild goose. Our, what's the word for disability? Is Gia something? Child of...
Dinalegia.
I'm so bad. Dinalegia. To God. We have this embedded in our fabric. We cannot underestimate the depths of Ireland's spiritual roots. We must call on those roots with joy. Of course we're in a challenge, but sure, Ireland is just one, our history is one series of challenges after another. We must rise to welcome. If you think of those four words, if that's all you take away, It's five, actually. To be radical. Radical against control, but at the same time, let's keep to our old traditions. To ponder control in your life. Who's in control? To trust. And you can't trust if you don't know and you don't love him. The idea of our supernatural being mixed in with the messy earthly realities and our capacity to welcome. What you can do to build a culture in life, a culture of life in this country, is unestimable. You may not be at my stage of life. You may not have the choices to be open to life in the terms of sexuality or whatever. But you can build a culture of life by welcoming my noisy family into your mass on a Sunday. Yes. By welcoming me in your shopping queue. By welcoming my children and their misbehaviour and their noise when you're out for dinner. By giving me, you know, there's a lovely lady in my mass on a Sunday, and the children were particularly boldly behaved, and I was just about to die. And I just thought, goodness me. She came up to me at the end of the mass, and she just goes, "I love watching your family in mass." I think I did cry, actually, right into her face. You can build a culture of life by telling me it's okay. This is this fine line between order and chaos. Chaos of children is their growth, their normal, beautiful nature. But it comes, of course, with a certain amount of order. And as a mother, I know Therese will tell you this, and I've said it before, you don't turn into the super mother when you just give birth to your first child. It's a long, painful learning process. So I'm learning, I make mistakes. So please be gentle. And the other thing I would say, because I am the privileged inheritor of a long list of big families, it's easy for me to be radically open to life because I have a family structure that enables me. I have sisters, brothers, some have children, some don't. I have grandparents. I have a wide family circle that makes it much easier for me than many of the people that we are asking in this country to be radically open to life. You can help them. Help them by knowing and loving God. Help them by the practical realities. Help them by the supernatural realities. We need to be creative to build structures that will enhance and enable people to be open to life. HLI is involved with family days. We have Catholic mothers groups. We need to now recreate the fabric of our society in order to help people be open to life. And that can be mother-toddler groups or support and aftermath. There's all sorts of things that you can do to help us be radically open to life, because the structures are just dwindling. And it will take years to build them up again, but we can do it. So that's it. The last one was just welcoming everything. Welcome life, welcome God, every person, every child, every challenge and suffering, and let the wild goose loose.